Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Chapter 16. The glory of him who takes away the first and establishes the second. Topic B. The central theme both in what is called first and in what is called second. To advance more specifically on the question of what is called as first and what is called as second, we are presenting below the text quoted or used as a primary reference in the opening part of this chapter once again, increased, however, of two more verses. Hebrews 10:5-10. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God." Previously saying, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law," then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. What, then, is this reference that Christ made to a first and to a second, and when he said to the Heavenly Father that he had come into the world, as the Son of Man and in the body that the Lord has prepared for him, to fulfill the will of God and to announce that it was not sacrifices and burnt offerings that God was looking for so that people could be reconciled to their Creator. What the reference to the removal of a first for the establishment of a second shows us to be so significant that a person can be separated, sanctified, for the Lord also to come to know the will of God for his or her life. Mentioning the questions in the preceding paragraphs at the beginning of the more specific approach of what the first and the second come to be is not just a mere exercise of a didactic expression. It seems to us to be crucial since the verses of the Bible themselves, quoted at the beginning of this topic, do not directly explain what the terms first and second are referring to, which, in turn, may lead readers of these verses to merely, but also unfortunately, not realizing the greatness of what they are referring to. If there is a reference to a first and also to a second, this statement must obviously be referring to some central theme common to both of them. However, if we do not know the theme to which the two points refer, also what is referred to the first and the second will hardly be understood. When a first and a second are mentioned, this shows us that there are differences between them, including the fact that one comes before the other, but it also reveals to us that the two are a variation of a theme common to both to such an extent of being ordained one after the other. If, for example, a couple comes to have a second child, that child is distinct from the first, receives a different name, and is treated as a distinct person. However, the fact that this child was received in the same family also means that he or she is associated with some themes common to the first child or his or her sibling, such as affiliation, family, inheritance, etc. Thus, the fact that there is no more precise explanation of what comes to be the first and the second in the Hebrew verses mentioned above does not prevent us from knowing the central theme with which they are associated. If in the specific verses presented above we do not find an explanation of the central theme to which the first and the second are associated, in the book in which the referenced verses appear, we will certainly have the information we need, because the scriptures would not leave us helpless in a subject of such high relevance and through which the Lord Jesus helps us to be able to be aligned with the will of God or to be sanctified, separated, in the Lord. When we are not given a direct understanding of a theme in a particular verse of the scriptures, the investigation of the context of the book in which the verse is found becomes even more essential and may come to serve us with great support. Therefore, if the verses that were exposed at the beginning of this topic do not yet directly show us what they are referring to, the book of Hebrews, in which the verses are inserted, reveals us, in turn, repeatedly and abundantly what the central theme is to which what is called first and what is called second are associated, as exemplified below. Hebrews 1:1-2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Hebrews 8:1-2. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying: we have such a high priest, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, and not man. Hebrews 7:12. For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. Although the central theme of the book of Hebrews may also be seen from the perspective of an exchange of a covenant or the first pact for the second pact between God and human beings, which in a way is also another way of referring to the central subject of the book of Hebrews, the central theme to be unveiled so that we may seek to clarify more broadly and, at the same time, more objectively what comes to be what is called first and what is called second respectively, is a theme widely dealt with in the scriptures which is directly associated with the communication between God and the people who live on earth and which is also called priesthood. Although what is called the first and what is called the second are distinct from each other, the common theme they both refer to is primarily about the priesthood directed to God. So, what is called the first is a type of priesthood and what is called the second is another type of priesthood, but both deal with the priesthood of people regarding God. If people realized more how much the understanding of what priesthood is also affects their lives individually, many would make a more considerable effort to achieve a broader and more accurate understanding of this topic, for it is also in what is related to what is called a priesthood that lies the path of people's access to God who gives them life. Probably because they have heard more about the characteristics of what is to be a priesthood according to the idea of what is exposed in what is called as the first priesthood, many people may come to think that priesthood is a subject that is only interesting to be seen by those who are entitled or who call themselves priests in the world and who do it to carry out priestly service in the place of others. Nevertheless, considering as being priesthood only what is mentioned in the previous paragraph, is in no way in accordance with what God expects people to understand about what is associated with the priesthood according to the definition established by the heavenly kingdom. When viewed from the perspective taught to us from the kingdom of God, the priesthood encompasses, without exception, all people from all parts of the world, even though many are unaware of it. Without understanding the central aspects of what constitutes a priesthood and without understanding that there are different types of priesthoods that seek to establish the relationship of human beings with God, being divided basically between what is called the first, or variations of it, and what is called the second, people who live in the world are continually subject to postponing the growth or the process of becoming mature that is already available to them in the Lord. Hebrews 5:7-14. He, Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say, and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Similarly, or put in other words, If people do not adequately discern what is associated with what priesthood is and what each type of priesthood is like, they are also subject to walking under priesthoods that are not based on the righteousness of the heavenly kingdom and which, therefore, can never perfect those who seek God through them. Which is also expressed at the beginning of the text that shows that the first priesthood must be removed for the second priesthood to be established. Hebrews 10, 1-10. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God." Previously saying, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law," then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Even if a type of priesthood is presented as directed exclusively to the one God creator of the heavens and the earth, if it is established along the lines or with characteristics of the priesthood model related to what is called the first, this priesthood is not grounded on the righteousness revealed by God in Christ. Therefore, it is also not accepted by God and, consequently, it will never be able to perfect, before the Lord, those who make use of this kind of priesthood. Thus, after we know that the first and the second refer respectively to different types of priesthoods and that the distinction between them is crucial for the discernment of an appropriate relationship with God, we understand that the next step that needs to be taken is to know in more detail what is involved with the term priesthood and what are the main aspects that make up each of these two distinct types of priesthood called, respectively, the first and the second.